hockey fans that are diehard Habs fans, diehard Oiler fans, they're not backing down, despite the fact they're down 2-0 in their series. Caps beat the Habs last night 3-1, so Washington 2-0 lead in that series. And the Kings and the Oilers, Kings another decisive win. Shouldn't say another. The last game, obviously, was close. This one 6-2 the final, and Kings lead that series 2-0. So both of those teams back on home ice and hoping to right the ship. Canadian teams in action tonight, Jets and the Blues. Jets lead that series 2-0. That's a 7:30 start. And then that Battle of Ontario, as they're calling it, Toronto and Ottawa, that's a 5 o'clock start. That game, the Leafs with a 2-0 series lead there. So we just had a good conversation with Noel Thomas, founder of Dark Watch. It's an organization that does work on human trafficking. And you might have heard he said right in the early part of that interview is, as the saying goes, all it takes for evil to prevail is for a good man to do nothing. And he shared a couple of stories of basically almost human trafficking happening right in front of, in one case, his father's eyes and the steps that he took to try and prevent it from happening. And it brings up a discussion. And we often, when we're talking about the different topics that we bring on the show, we have production meetings and we talk things through. And we got on this topic of gut feelings. You know, the intuition that we all have. And it can be on something, I'm not saying it has to be on something as big or as serious as human trafficking, but sometimes you just have a gut feeling about something. You have an intuition that it's not right, that or maybe that there's something positive about to happen. I'm curious to know if you've ever leaned into that, if you've ever leaned into that gut feeling that you've had and it was right. I think my, you know, almost 30 years in policing, gosh, there isn't a day goes by that you don't operate sometimes strictly on gut feelings. And one case that comes to mind for me was one night we had an interaction with an individual, not on purpose. We weren't called there to talk to this gentleman. We just happened to be at a call. This person was walking by and something just seemed off about him, about the discussion. It just, something didn't seem right. And so my partner said, you know, I don't know what it was, but there was just something about the way he was responding to the questions that we were asking and whatever. About 3 hours later in the shift, we saw the same individual walking into a convenience store and 30 seconds later committing an armed robbery. And it was one of those unexplained things. We couldn't put our finger on it. We couldn't say this is why we thought something was wrong. So we weren't doing surveillance on this person. We literally came across him again a few hours later in the shift. And in the short time we were observing him, watched him walk into and try and commit an armed robbery. Obviously, we were able to step in and prevent that from happening. Nobody got hurt. But, you know, it's just speaking about gut feelings and intuition. Another one that comes to mind, and the funny thing about this story, it's a very personal family story. I was too young to even remember this, but I've heard the story retold enough through the years. My mom took me to Regina to do some, I don't know what we were doing, errands, shopping, whatever. I was a very young child at the time. I don't even know if I would have been in school yet. Just the two of us took the bus, which also tells you this was a while ago because we had a bus service in the province. So we get on the bus. We got on the bus in Abernethy, and then it makes all of the stops that it does to Regina. Then we spent the day in Regina, and we were coming back on the bus. Big storm happened that night. And when we got to the bus stop in Belcarce, which was not our final stop, we were actually going to Abernethy. We got to the stop in Belcarce. My grandfather was there. And he said, you know, the roads are bad. I didn't like the idea of you being on that bus. I thought I'd maybe just come here and pick you up, and I'll take you to Abernethy. And, of course, my father was going to be there in Abernethy. And so that's the way it was planned. We leave. The bus, of course, does a short stay in Belcarce, and then it hits the road to Abernethy. The bus ended up getting into a car accident and flips on its side into the ditch on Highway 10 between Belcarce and Abernethy. My father didn't know my grandfather had picked us up. This is long before you would shoot a text message or anything like that. So my father, of course, is freaking out knowing this accident has happened. He actually is going to the scene. Nobody was injured, thankfully, in this bus accident. It was a crash with another car. But the point is, we still talk about to this day and marvel the intuition my grandfather had, just saying, you know what, I think I'm going to go and pick them up. Something about the roads, the bad weather and whatever. And clearly it turned out to be good that he leaned into and trusted his gut feeling. Have you ever had that where you trusted your gut? And if you have, what was the story? How did it roll out? Were you correct? 1-877-332-8255. I feel like in the policing world, that's what it's all about, is gut feelings. And sometimes you're leaning on, you know, expertise that you might have gained. Or in the case of my grandfather, knowing what the roads are like in Saskatchewan, yeah, maybe it wasn't a gut feeling. It's just more of this is what he felt like he had to do. But either way, good decision to do that. What about you? 1-877-332-8255. Already seeing a text that's coming in saying, I've had that feeling many times, usually over travel. So I can't tell you if the decision was good or not because I make the decision not to travel, therefore not knowing if I saved myself an accident. I mean, maybe that's just being a good person from the province of Saskatchewan who understands the dangers of the highways in the wintertime, but makes sense. 1-877-332-8255. Have you ever had that, a gut feeling? Maybe it's a case where you didn't react on it, and then in hindsight, you wish you had. In fact, I think that's the case with one of my callers here on the line, Susan, in Saskatoon. Susan, thanks for calling in. We're talking about kind of listening to our gut. Have you got a situation?
I do. You know, and I'd just like to say thank you for drawing this to people's attention. And I would just say we need to be observant.
Uh-huh.
And that's about following gut feelings.
Sure.
As well. I have three instances wherein I didn't act on it. One was in Edmonton, in, parking lot, where we were driving by, we were trying to leave the parking lot, and there was a van parked there, and a person that was just hammering away at somebody in this minivan, just beating them up, beating this person up. And I said to my husband, I know, I don't like the look of that. Maybe I should call the police about this. Call 911. But I didn't, and to this day, I lament that I did not.
Right.
Okay. Also, when we were in Avra, Montana, traveling through there, this was at a McDonald's, and I would say pay attention at fast food places, because often when there's trafficking, I bet they probably use those bathrooms, et cetera, for their trafficking victims, right? We were just sitting eating, and an SUV pulled up, the driver got out, someone was kind of standing guard just next to the vehicle on the passenger side, and there was a woman, I would say maybe of Mexican descent, and a five-year-old in the back seat. So clearly this person was trying to keep them there. And I just felt bad that I didn't actually try and phone that one in to some. I just had a bad feeling about it.
Mm-hmm.
And the third one I was going to say was Tim Hortons, the River City Mall here. I was in the bathroom, and like a teenage girl was just in her underwear washing herself at the sink and crying and sobbing. And really, you know what? I should have just called 911, and just maybe policing could have done something about that.
Yeah. I appreciate you bringing these up, Susan, because I think what you've just described in a couple of different instances there are, these are situations that people often do come across. And, you know, sometimes there's this reluctance to want to get involved, or think, well, if it's nothing, then I'm wasting the time of the police or ambulance or whoever it is you're calling. I can tell you through the years, I'm always appreciative of those calls, because if they show up, if the police get called and they show up in that situation and they talk to the young lady that's had been in the washroom at the coffee shop, and it turns out to be nothing, then no harm, no foul. But if it turns out to be something, thank you for texting or thank you for calling in. And so, you know, I think there's some really good examples there where if it's in your gut, what does it hurt? That's what police is there for, or that's what whoever it is you're going to call and reach out to, just to say, I don't know what it is, but something doesn't feel right. You know, the number of times we've had calls like that to the police service where the person calling saying, I can't even explain to you why I'm calling you, but I am calling you because this just doesn't seem right. Gosh. Wouldn't you be glad if it turned out that you were helping a potential victim or really being the missing piece of an investigation without even knowing it? We're talking about a time in which you've trusted your gut or maybe wished you had trusted your gut. 1-877-332-8255. Happy to hear your calls, your texts on this topic. We'll take a break. We'll be right back here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Good morning, and thanks for joining the conversation. 1-877-332-8255. It's an interesting one today on gut feelings. Like, when is a time you've had a gut feeling about something, spidey senses, as some people like to say, and you followed it, or you wish you'd follow it? Got a text here that says, "Hi, Evan, I might recommend a great book on gut feelings. It's called The Gift of Fear: Survival Signals That Protect Us from Violence" by Gavin DeBecker. Thanks for the text on that. 1-877-332-8255. Randy in Saskatoon, have you got a story, Randy, about following your gut?
I have a story that's pretty incredible.
Let's hear it.
And anyways, I've been meaning to say hi to you since you took over, because I'm from a small town right close to Abernathy called Duff.
Oh, I love Duff.
Yeah,
right on the corner there, right on the corner on the way to Melville.
Yeah, and I have relatives that played hockey and ball against you or with you. Anyways, we moved to the city here in 72, and it was mid-70s. I was walking home on a Saturday evening in the College Park area on a main street by a park. A vehicle pulled over to the side of the road, probably about 20 yards from me. A fellow got out, leaned over the roof of his vehicle and said, "Hey, do you want to go partying?" I looked at the person, looked at the vehicle, and I was a car enthusiast even back then. I turned around and ran for my house. Mm-hmm. My parents weren't home, so I went to the next door neighbors, stayed there till my parents got home. Nothing happened.
How old would you have been then, Randy?
Approximately 13.
Okay.
I'm not positively sure. A couple of weeks later on the news, and this was going on at the time, but wasn't what was on my mind. It just didn't look right being approached like that. And I was only maybe a block away from my house. Parents weren't home, so I just went to the neighbors. They took me in. A few weeks later, it was found on the news, the car and the person, which I recognized. I was stunned, totally shocked. It was David Sreinen.
Really?
You know who that is.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I just thanked my lucky stars that something in my gut said, this isn't right. And I ran.
It's amazing. I mean, the ability to listen to your gut, even in situations that thinking at the age of 13 years old, you know, you wouldn't think you've necessarily developed all of those skills, but clearly, yeah, that was David Thrinen was someone back in the mid-70s who I believe was involved in, I think had four victims were murdered. I remember the case from the 70s. I mean, I don't remember it from back then, but I remember hearing talk about it. But a great example of listening to your gut. Here's an interesting text. Tannis from Martinsville. My story about gut feelings. I was pulling up to a red light in Saskatoon in the wintertime. For some reason, I stopped a ways away from the light, you know, back from where that normal stop line would be. And Tana says in her text, she heard a voice, like someone in the back seat, say, stay here. But keep in mind, she was alone in the car. She stopped a ways away. Seconds later, a car came careening out of control around the corner. Had she been stopped where she was normally stopped, she would have absolutely been smoked by this other vehicle. So those gut feelings are important. Tanis from Martinsville, thank you so much for sharing that one. Mel from Central Sask grew up in the 90s as a street kid. Listening to my intuition saved my life many times. The times I ignored it, bad things often happened. Twice it almost cost me my life. But he goes on to say he's a licensed social worker and really wishes that more often their perspectives would be considered on how to prevent human trafficking from happening. As social workers, even teachers, I think there are some professionals who there's value in listening to gut feelings. Obviously, you can't often take legal action on a gut feeling, but it's enough of a spark to get you going in that direction. And that's exactly what Mel is bringing up there. Thanks for that. 1-877-332-8255. Jonathan in Warman. Have you trusted your gut in the past, Jonathan?
Yeah.
And how has it turned out?
Actually, it was a year ago almost to the day, because I'm sure it was game three or game four of the Oilers versus the Kings. I was staying the night in Estevan, and I really wanted to get to the Boston Pizza to like watch the end of the game or whatever else I got. I walked up to Boston Pizza, I glanced inside, and I saw the game was over, so I kind of walked away. And there was this one guy who was asking me for some change outside or something, or for a light, for a smoke. And I said, no, sorry, dude, I don't smoke and everything else I got. And he was dropping cash on the ground. And he goes, well, I said, and I told him, hey, look, there's cash. You're dropping some money here. And he goes, well, why don't you pick it up if you're so concerned about it? And I went, no, I'm fine. Because there was just something in my gut that told me that if I would have actually picked it up to help him, he would have started booting the hell out of me.
Mm. So it was just basically you didn't feel good about that setup, and something obviously told you, nope, this isn't, I'm just going to carry along. Listening to your instincts is important, and that we all have them. We all have them, and sometimes I think we suppress them thinking, yeah, we're going to sound crazy if we say it. Or in the case of, I think it was Susan that called in earlier, often you think, I don't know, if I'm wrong, then I'm bothering the police if I've made this call. There are so many times, and I've said this now a few times on the show, so many times that we get calls, we police, fire, EMS, emergency responders, because something doesn't feel right to the person that is reporting it. Let the experts come out and tell you know what, it ended up being fine, but better safe than sorry. Hey, thanks to everybody that shared their stories, the text that we got in. And again, by the way, the book, if you're interested on gut feelings, this texter says, The Gift of Fear, Survival Signals That Protect Us from Violence. Gavin DeBecker is the name of the author. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Good morning, it's Evan Bray on this beautiful Thursday morning. Great to have you along. Thanks for joining the show, joining the conversation this morning. A number of people texting in saying they plan on being at the rally tonight for Pierre Poilievre. He is the third of the three major party leaders hitting Saskatchewan. We had Jagmeet Singh from the NDP, Mark Carney from the Liberals earlier in April. Pierre Poilievre in Saskatoon tonight at Biz Hub Industrial Park. Therefore, a rally, doing a media conference tomorrow morning, and then moving on to his next stop. And so I'm sure tomorrow people that were at the rally will join the show and let us know how that was. In fact, a couple of the people that I heard from on the text line also attended some of the other rallies, the leader rallies that were in Saskatoon. So maybe we'll even get a little bit of a comparison in terms of crowd size and those types of things. Well, you probably remember the name Andy Schmidt, because we had Andrew on the show about a year ago, leading up to the Tim Hortons Smile Cookie campaign. Those, I can't even tell you how many of those smile cookies. When the campaign is going on, it's like everybody's buying them. Everybody's like, here, have a cookie. Man, I go through a lot of those Tim Hortons smile cookies. I'm not embarrassed to say. Basically, it's a great way to support great causes in your community, because when Tim Hortons puts on their Smile Cookie campaign, the funds go to local organizations, local agencies that are making such a big difference in our community. Andrew Schmidt, who joined us last year, the director of community with First Steps Wellness Center, a special healthcare center in Saskatchewan, taking care of patients with neurological injuries. Well, they're excited to announce Tim Hortons has chosen them again as one of the Saskatchewan representatives. And I'm happy to say we've got Andrew Schmidt joining us in studio. Andrew, thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure, Evan.
And we've got Erica Brown joining Andrew today. Erica's a lead children's therapist with First Steps Wellness Center. Erica, thank you for coming in as well.
Thanks for having us.
So, Andrew, let's talk about last year's campaign. How did it go? How did you end up? How did you make out in terms of the Smile Cookie campaign and contributions to the organization?
We think it went really well. The Tim Hortons owners actually told us that Canada-wide, it was down 10%, but here in Regina, as is true to the people of Saskatchewan, it was up 10%.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's great. Well, last year was really my introduction to incredible work that you and the team do at First Steps Wellness Center. But just refresh the listener's mind, Andrew, what is First Steps about? What makes it unique?
Sure. We are Canada's first activity-based therapy center. We started just about 15 years ago now, and we would work with anyone with a neurological injury or condition from about ages 3 months to our oldest client has been about 88. And it would be once you're discharged out of the healthcare system and back in your house or in a community home or whatnot, it's not always places for you to go to continue your rehabilitation journey or to just do some basic exercises to keep yourself healthy. And that's where we come in.
Now, I remember reading, I don't know if it was on your website, which, by the way, is firststepswellnesscenter.ca, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So I remember seeing somewhere that you do a lot of functional gains. You focus on functional gains below the level of injury. Did I get that right? Can you explain what that means?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I'll use a personal story. So my mom has an acquired brain injury and she has one side of her body is affected, her left side. So we would try to work with that left side rather than just ignore it and work with the right. We want to work with the person as a whole because, you know, they have a disability. And if you only work with what works, well, you're kind of ignoring what doesn't.
Mm-hmm. What is your role? Director of community. What does that do?
Yeah, I'd say we're still trying to figure that out. I've been there. I was the first employee they hired 15 years ago. Never thought I would be involved with an organization for that long. And honestly, the clients and the people I've met along the way have been just the best. And so it's stuff like this, Evan. It's knowing that I've been there for so long. It's trying to tell our story where we've been pretty humble about it for a long time. And I have some of our families be like, you need to start actually telling people that you guys do great work. And it's hard to do that when you're a nonprofit charity because it's hard to find the revenue to support that role. And so I'm still a therapist as well. And I kind of, if we're a little bit slower, then I do more of this kind of stuff. If we're busy, then I shut my mouth and get to work.
Mm-hmm. Andrew Schmidt is one of my two guests. Andrew's the director of community for First Steps Wellness Center. Erica Brown also joining us, lead children's therapist with First Steps Wellness. Can you talk, Erica, about some of the clients that you work with and the age groups? Because it's quite a span.
Yes. So I'll work with children who maybe have cerebral palsy, spina bifida, a brain injury, maybe they had a stroke. I see a lot of global developmental delays or genetic conditions. So if you're not quite meeting your developmental milestones, I would be someone that you can come and see. For the age, the youngest I've worked with is 3 months, but I'll even go into our adult side as well. But typically right now, I'm seeing kids mostly under 5.
Mm. And I'm guessing the programs are very unique to the client. Would that be fair to say?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So we work with the approach that it's the whole being, as Andy said before. So you're working with what the child currently has, but what they can also move towards. And then we try and work with the family the best that we can. So whether that is someone coming in from out of town or maybe they live in town and they're going to do a 1 or 2 week intensive, maybe a family likes to schedule where they go once or twice a week, or maybe the family doesn't think that they need too much help right now and the child's doing really well on their own or they're in school and they can come maybe once or twice a month. And then we provide a home program and we just do a little bit of a check-in here and there.
We're chatting today. Erica Brown is the lead children's therapist with First Steps Wellness Center in Regina. And this is one location that was chosen to be a recipient of the proceeds from Tim Horton's Smile Cookie campaign. So, Erica, how do you measure success? The one thing I've learned quickly about First Steps Wellness Center is the reviews that you get from clients, whether they're clients that use the service or families of clients that use the service, the reviews are outstanding. And that obviously feels rewarding. But how do you measure success when you're working with a client, let's say a five-year-old?
Well, you can do it the traditional way of using assessment tools to kind of gauge and guide where the child is at. But I personally like to hear the stories from the family. So let's say you are working with a five-year-old and they can now take their walker to school and they can participate in gym class a little bit differently than they could before.
Mm-hmm.
It's
impressive stuff. And the testimonials, I watched a few on the website and they tug at the heartstrings, but you can tell the difference that you're making. And maybe Andrew, I can come back to you. Do you have a specific place you use the money? So you've been chosen again, Tim Horton Smile Cookie Campaign. You will be one of the benefactors of it. Do you have a place designated for where that money will be spent?
Just to be frank, honestly, this year, no. Last year, we received $65,000. And how we operate as a nonprofit charity is we have a board of directors that has to govern any of those kind of decisions because that's a lot of money. And so we just kind of see some needs. So last year we purchased a new kids piece of equipment. We purchased an FES cycle. We did staff training. I know this one isn't like a flashy thing, but there are things around our facility that cost like $400 or $500 that you can't really write a grant to get. And we bought a bunch of those. Mm. And so, the awesome part about this Tim Hortons money is it's like, here you go. We believe in you. And it's kind of like a vote of confidence from the owners that says, like, spend it how you guys need it. And so we also don't spend money before we get it. So once we receive the final amount, then we'll submit, you know, a laundry list maybe from our staff, from our clients of what do you guys want? What can we get? Is there something out there right now? We're actually in talks of getting this robotics piece of equipment. But again, we want to do our due diligence so we just don't waste the money, right?
Do you have a waiting list of people, or is it easy for people that want to be clients of First Steps Wellness Center to get in?
Yeah, never. The great part about our facility that I think is we have a great relationship with the University of Regina. We've had over 75 fieldwork students from the kinesiology program come through our doors. They do a four-month internship with us, and then that's part of their degree program. Mm. If we get busy, I'll just hire more people, Evan. Mm-hmm. So please, no problem for us. No waiting list. We're open early. We'll stay open late. We work weekends. We work holidays. Because the truth is, like, a disability doesn't take a day off and doesn't get a holiday. So, you know, we have awesome staff who understand that. And that's part of the whole, I think, just part of what makes us different.
There's so much room for the work that you and the team do at First Steps Wellness Center. I know that there's a facility in Winnipeg and there's one in, is it Sherbrooke, Quebec?
That's right. And yeah. The Sherbrooke one's fascinating. That's actually where our founder was playing lacrosse at a collegiate level. And that's where he got injured. Mm. And the founder there didn't know that initially. And she spent 6 months here in Regina getting like the culture of what we have. And they're doing very well out in Sherbrooke right now.
Is there room for expansion within the province?
Tricky. I'm not sure. Yeah. Startup costs are awful. Mm-hmm. Medical equipment is insanely expensive. And I think the thing that makes Saskatchewan unique about maybe only having one is we're kind of used to traveling for hockey and traveling for sports and traveling for things. I grew up in Swift Current and we drove everywhere for everything.
Of course, yeah.
And so, yeah, not sure.
Well, listen, I appreciate the work that you and the team do. I was pumped and excited to see that you were chosen again as recipients. I imagine you guys smash a few boxes of those cookies once they're out, the Tim Horton Smile Cookie Campaign.
Whoa, we're exercise therapists. Come on, we don't eat extra calories, right?
I'm sure if I showed up with a box of those cookies, Andrew, they're going to get eaten.
Hey, they are calorie free. That's what we've heard.
Good to know.
Can't verify that, but that's what we've heard.
Well, listen, Andrew Schmidt and Erica Brown, I appreciate you paying us a visit today. Again, the work you do at First Steps Wellness Center is outstanding. I'm happy you were chosen by Tim Hortons and their Smile Cookie campaign as recipients once again. And we'll check in again in the future.
Thank you, Evan.
Thank you.
FirstStepsWellnessCenter.ca. If you want to check it out online, it's quite an impressive place. They've got children's programs. They've got all kinds of different ways in which they help people and help people substantially. It's impressive. And I, like I said, last year was actually the first time I had learned about the work that they do to take care of patients with neurological injuries. But after having them on the show, I had a couple of my friends reach out to me and say, you know what? This is how they've helped my family member. In one case, it was a child. In another case, it was an uncle. And I just thought, wow, you never know who these unsung heroes are in our community. And, they are definitely in that category. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Good morning, Evan Bray. I want to take a second to send thoughts and condolences to family, friends, and community of former FSIN Chief Lawrence Joseph, who we learned passed away this week at the age of 79. In fact, happening in Prince Albert is his celebration of life today. And our own David Curtin here at the radio station takes us behind the scenes to take a look at the life of Lawrence Joseph.
Music was a big part of Lawrence Joseph's life, touring Western Canada's bars, nightclubs, and theaters with the Lawrence Joseph Band. At the Saskatchewan Indigenous Music Awards, Joseph was honored with the Lifetime Achievement Award. Back in the day, when he wasn't on stage, Joseph spent 30 years as a federal public servant, some of those years in the Prince Albert Pen. That's where he received a recognition from the Solicitor General's office for saving a fellow officer's life and for preventing the escape of a dangerous prisoner. In the late 1980s, Joseph was elected vice chair of the Prince Albert School Board. Then in 1991, Joseph was elected onto City Council in Prince Albert for the first of two terms he would serve. In 1997, Joseph was elected fourth vice chief of the Federation of Saskatchewan Indian Nations, as it was called then. It was during his second term that Joseph made national and international headlines, pushing the boundaries on Saskatchewan's justice system that was failing the Indigenous. Here's Joseph talking to a room full of police and prosecutors at a justice conference.
Your system has really screwed up in relation to First Nations people. It's screwed up royally. Now give us a chance to fix your mess. And the chiefs of Saskatchewan are prepared to do that. And they have demonstrated in the past that they're more than willing to help bring about peace, law and order, and peaceful coexistence as was promised by them in the treaty.
Once elected chief of the FSIN, Lawrence Joseph created the Special Investigations Unit of the FSIN. It probes police interactions with Indigenous people. But Joseph was also a hardliner when the Métis wanted in on the truth and reconciliation process. Joseph said the Indigenous are not a melting pot, and the could-have-beens, the should-have-beens, and the wannabes did not belong. In Saskatoon, I'm David Curtin.
You know, I had the opportunity to sit on a committee with former FSIN Chief Lawrence Joseph. It was a committee when we were putting together the Public Complaints Commission for the province of Saskatchewan. So this is, it still exists today. The mechanism, if people have a complaint about police, that's where they can go to lodge their complaint. And Chief Joseph was on that committee the very first time I met him. I'd never met him before. We're sitting in the committee, and he was, you know, he was quite, as you heard in that clip that David Curtin played, he could be quite forceful in his thoughts and in his convictions about what needed to change in the justice system. And I remember thinking to myself, this could be a tough and long committee, depending on how these conversations go. At the break, we stood and chatted at the coffee pot as we were filling up our coffee for about 15 minutes. And it was about family and Saskatchewan and mutual people that we knew. And from there, I learned that this was a passionate leader who formed friendships, was very convicted in what he believed, but also was a person that could work well at that committee level. And so thoughts and prayers with the family, the friends, and the community of Chief Lawrence Joseph today as his celebration of life is happening in Prince Albert, and thankful for the impact that he made on our province, our community. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.